All right. This is Senator Jill Carter representing the 32nd District in the state of Missouri, Newton and Jasper County. And with me today, I have some very amazing people up here at the Capitol today. These are our teachers with MSTA, some of them from our district. These are Neosho teachers, right?
Right.
Yep.
Awesome. So just introduce yourselves really quick and we'll get this rolling.
I'm Tressa Green at the Neosho Middle School. I teach sixth grade science with Jim.
My name is Denise Norman. I'm at Benton Elementary. I teach third grade.
Jim Wallace and Neosho Middle School science teacher.
I'm Amy Wallace and I'm at Neosho Junior High.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for coming up today. So today is MSTA Day at the Capitol, and these guys took some time to come up and be here on a Tuesday afternoon. So you've got substitute teachers in your classroom, so you can come up and talk about education. So I'm excited to do this clip to be able to send it out to in our newsletter and kind of let people know back at home what you guys are thinking. And hopefully we can start some bigger conversations about education, what's going on in our districts in Southwest Missouri. So Jim, in our office, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
Just there were four points or four levels that you had talked about previously about education and things you would like to see.
Okay. Well, I mean, we came up today talking about some of the things that you guys are doing right now. One of the things you're doing is increasing some starting teacher pay, and that's always a hot topic. But really, it's just one of a handful of steps to keep teachers, because we're in a teacher crisis. We just can't seem to keep teachers, hire teachers, not getting the same numbers going through school. And it's already tough to advertise, say, go to 4 years of school and come make $40,000 a year. But teaching is a wonderful profession. Everybody in this room loves it. And
I always say it's a work of the heart.
It is.
Yeah.
We absolutely love our kiddos and what we do. But there's some other things that happen. And really, Denise is our president of our local Neosho Community Teachers Association. I'm the vice president. And we've talked to literally hundreds of teachers.
Lots.
Not just at Neosho either, other in the districts in the area and really across the state. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be a problem across the United States. But really one of the biggest crises that we face as teachers is some of the discipline issues or the behavior issues that we have with some of the kiddos that don't have the skills they need to really be able to function in the classroom. And it's not just behaviors that are in that normal paradigm that you deal with. We teach 11, 12-year-olds. Denise teaches third graders. Amy, who's my wife, teaches at the junior high. And so we all do have a variety of different ages. And they all operate in that paradigm that's quote-unquote normal for a kiddo, and where they're not going to be perfect. And that's okay. We like that. We embrace the chaos. But over the last few years, things have changed, and we're having kids that are more and more violent, throwing chairs across the room, destroying things, and really locking down our school occasionally, holding 700 other kids kind of hostage for a while they roam the halls. It's kind of a scary thing in a lot of ways, but.
And the morale seems so low. Right. Yeah. Now, in public education in general.
Yeah. We get new teachers that come in and they get frustrated. This is not for me. I mean, they recognize it immediately because of some of these things that are happening. And then, you know, the other kind of steps that happen are support from admin and then support from the state. And we can talk about that more in a minute. But these behavior things, I know that there was an issue at the Springfield in their school districts about some of the programs that they've adopted and programs like BIST and there's other ones that are meant to teach behavior that frankly, in most of our opinions, fail. I think they do okay for some of the kids that are in kind of that normal paradigm, but the ones that are out there, whatever consequence that brings, a safe seat, a buddy room, which aren't really consequences. They're just places for them to kind of think about their behavior and go on. It's meaningless to them, regardless of the small conversations that we have. But even as I know administrators get frustrated because, you know, they can suspend a kid or put them in ISS or give them detention, but those things don't seem to have any teeth When you're talking
and the solution doesn't seem to be like when we were talking about this in my office, when when my kids got in trouble at school, they got in trouble at home.
Right.
I mean, nothing made me more frustrated as a mom. And my kids can testify to you to this. You know, if you come home and you've got detention or something's, and if you come home and tell me, well, it wasn't my fault, and I call the teacher and find out that it was your fault, like that's next level in our house. That was next level. You don't do that.
But your kids have parents.
Yeah. That's part of our problem is that we have kids from these fractured families that are either, you know, maybe they're in foster care, maybe grandma's trying to raise the kid, maybe, you know, mom or dad might be incarcerated or something like that. And we have all these kids that aren't getting those skills. We don't have families, even parents. Our district is providing parenting classes right now. Like I think it's called Love and Logic. And that would be great for some of these parents to learn skills to teach their kids. But the problem is we've got to get those parents in there. So we've got to come up with some solutions for those kind of kids that aren't getting the regular parenting that we got when we were growing up or when we raised our kids.
And so, to be fair, I mean, some of the kids have parents that are home, but they just choose not to parent. And so the kids are feral. And then there's other times that, you know, I've seen it many times in my life. Great parents have kids that don't do what they need to be doing in a proper way, and then others don't. So, but regardless, and we've had really bad parents produce awesome kids. So, you know, there's those things too. But these kiddos that are outside this normal paradigm, they that are doing these destructive things, they really need, to be fair to them, an opportunity to learn these skills. And it's not going to happen in the how we're operating now. We've talked about some ideas, but really the idea is we need to get this, whatever they are, going. We don't proclaim to have the answer necessarily. One thing we've talked about is maybe having alternative schools in every district where these kids that fall in this category, 3-4%, maybe 5, can go and learn these skills intensely. And there may be kids that can go there. And I'm not talking about a boot camp. I'm talking about educators, teachers, where these kids are still getting tier one instruction, still learning math and English and all the things they need to learn, but are having a lot of time spent with how to interact socially, how to behave, how to do the things that are acceptable. Because it's not just, you know, our school district is a microcosm of the world. I mean, they have to learn these skills as they go.
Right, to be able to function in society.
Otherwise, they just won't.
So what do you think about?
Oh, I was just going to say, thinking about the demographics and the SES of our area, there are good parents, but some of those parents are having to work night shifts.
Right.
So they're not having those times with their kiddos.
Yeah.
So they're just absent, even though they do mean well and they're hard workers, but they're having to survive in the world themselves.
But these kids need the opportunity, like Jim said, to get these skills without penalizing the other students. And right now, I think that's where we're failing those other students, is that they're having to tolerate those kind of behaviors. The teachers are getting physically assaulted and those kind of things. And that's something that we need to do better. We need to do better for those kids. And we need to do better for the kids that are being penalized for their behavior.
Right. It's not fair for either one. I mean, I've had students absolutely fearful of other students because they witnessed something that happened last year or the year before, and that went on and on and multiple times. We're not talking about one little outburst that we can deal with. This is something that goes on and on. And
so I've had teachers tell me that they've seen this in the third grade.
Like right.
Little kids throwing chairs. Yeah. You know, across the room. And
actually, yeah, a couple of years ago, I had a student who literally threw tables across the classroom, damaged himself, hurt his toe. He would try to hit the teachers. He was he had to be carried down the hallway. He just was out of control. And he had a lot of issues, but it was scary for the other kids. They didn't know what to do. They, in our BIST rules, it's I can be okay even if others aren't. Well, that's easy to say, but when you have a table going across the classroom and you're scared, it's not easy to be okay. Yeah. So, and that's in third grade. I mean, these kids are 8.
Like you said earlier, you can't send them to the safe seat if the safe seat's flying across the
air. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there has to be another option. I think our administrators do a great job of constantly finding
resources
for us to teach, and different pedagogies that work the best, you know, different, oh, this is another. And so we're constantly developing there to have great instruction, and we get a lot of support there. And then we kind of hang our hat on BIST or some of these other programs that regardless of whatever data you seem, you know, that is produced, really fails in a lot of ways. And not just my opinion, but hundreds and hundreds of educators teach it. And I know in Springfield, again, I think I mentioned this, had a big issue with that. And that their teachers were dealing with their district about that because you're just tired of getting teachers literally assaulted. Mm-hmm. We have had rocks throwing and chairs and tables. But beyond all that, it's a constant disruption. I mean, it's just not fair across the board. And again, out of the whatever 25, 30 kids you may have in your classroom, and you've got 23 of them or 24 of them that are able to do, you know, within that range of normal, it's not fair to them, but it's also not fair to that kid that's got the issue. They really need to have a place to go learn those skills a lot more intensely without missing out on education. Mm-hmm. And if they're not able to acquire that, then so be it. They've had to have improved. But if they are, and whether that takes a month or 5 years to graduate out of that back into the classroom, that's only affecting us as a society in a positive way.
So what you're talking about is trying to equip the kids that are with those social skills that they're not just picking up in society anymore.
Right.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Exactly.
Because, well, you see, society has changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. And I obviously don't want to make this a...
I'm a graduate of 90. So yeah. There you go.
a political
me too.
conversation. But I saw something on Facebook the other day, and it was a hatchet with a wooden head on it. The blade was wood, and it was very pretty. But just because something's different doesn't mean that it's useful.
Right.
So we have people out there saying things when they know nothing about what they're saying, outside of education and attacking it. And it's frankly not useful. You need people on the ground floor, which are educators, mm-hmm. And people that are trying to make a difference,
yes.
Like you, and to come up with some ideas. And, you know, again, we can't just wait for somebody else to do it.
Well, it takes really hard conversations and the willingness to have. It does not matter wherever you are currently, whatever sector it is that you're talking to. Last week, we were talking to Jakob Owens about sex trafficking, mm-hmm. and labor trafficking. And it does not matter who you talk to. All of these conversations are really heavy right now.
Right.
But if we're unwilling to have them and kind of unpackage what it looks like to try to fix some of them, you know, there's a lot of conversations in the Capitol about vouchers and charters, which, you know, we can have those conversations. But ultimately, I have a district that doesn't have a lot of those resources, or that focus isn't there. The focus is in trying to help. How do we have these conversations about public education and to help fix public education so the morale is stabilized there? And trying to move it to where it looks more like you have more autonomy to be able to have the flexibility to meet the needs of the community is just something that I feel like is so vital. I mean, you've kind of been a captured, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you've been a captured market from the Department of Ed. And a lot of what I see has been deemed failure is you've been complicit and compliant with a system that's told you how to do everything. When now that we see some of the schools getting waivers, I've visited the Neosho school and the STEM school that they have there. And it's a night and day difference between what you see in your typical school versus what that STEM school is able to do.
Well, to be honest, and I'm just going to, I don't want to step out of bounds too much, but that STEM school is just it's a great place, but frankly, you'll see all that in all of our classrooms too. Mm-hmm. Our school district is very interested in doing
innovation
and mm-hmm. doing things educationally that's right. And they really should be congratulated for that. And the fact that are trying to escape maybe this MAP testing autopsy that gets looked at, and doing our iReady thing, which we get constant reports on the spot where we can identify growth and keep feeding that
it's
growth.
It's more informed growth.
Absolutely.
More informed.
It drives our instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
Math and ELA are the spearhead of that. Of course, we support that a lot in our classrooms. And frankly, that is a growth mindset that we have as adults.
You've always had that in education. I mean, that's right. That's how you measure whether or not you're having success with the kids.
Exactly. But people have to be willing to change. You know, I realized early on when I was a police officer for a career, I supervised the school resource officers for a while. And I realized that the graduation rate in Joplin was our problem too. And it was kind of poor back in the day. It's gotten a lot better, dramatically better. But I was like, That's our problem.
Yeah.
Because that is directly related to crime rate. Well, the same thing goes with public school. You know, their life at home is our problem. You know, and how we get involved in that is a tough deal, but we need to fix it at the level that we can. And just doing the same thing we do year after year and not changing is not going to work. And if you try something and it doesn't work, you try something else.
Well, and being able to collaborate on an innovation level where, okay, we're going to go venture off a little bit and do this and see if this works. Mm-hmm. Where I don't see that you guys have been allowed to have that flexibility for decades.
No, right.
We haven't.
Yeah.
And so you're stuck, like I said, like there's plenty of discussion about where this all came from and how we got started and whatever else. But what I'm focused on is trying to get you the resources and the flexibility you need now to meet the demands that are happening now.
Yes.
And I see the morale of teachers talking to them, you know, it would mean a lot to them to be able to have that flexibility to say, look, we're not trying to skirt accountability at all.
Right.
But we want true accountability, and we want the metrics to be the same as these other entities, private schools or charter schools that have that flexibility that you guys currently don't have.
That don't have to follow the regulations that we do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And when you get overregulated, that just leads to people manipulating numbers and doing things and, trying a program, it's working, and marrying to it and not be willing to change. And that's not good. But again, our district's been really good at some of that, but a lot of that, especially in our education part, but the discipline part is a big problem.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you can't teach students.
Yeah.
Some Kansas City school, it was a Kansas City public school board members come into my office last week. I think I told you this in my office, but they were talking about, we just want the ability to meet the needs of our community.
Right.
And it's so hard when there's a difference between a rural district and an inner city school and, you know, and a suburban school. There's the needs and the demands are completely different at times.
It's not just cookie cutter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what our education system used to be. It's not like that anymore. I mean, we have to give kids what they need, give districts what they need so they can be successful, and not measure them against others that don't have to follow those guidelines.
Right.
And I just want to say this. I mean, from my perspective, and again, I've only been in it 7 years, which means I had a whole other life before that. And from everything from construction to police work to business. And the reality is that what I've come to realize is public education is awesome. It has a lot of awesome people in it. But when you hamstring them by an autopsy report or by not having teeth to discipline or whatever that is, you really are cutting your potential really short. You know, we constantly compare ourselves to other school districts, and I'll just throw out Nixa for an example. Great community, great school district. Their demographic, I think there's a lot of college educated parents. There's a lot of money there. It's a little bit different than Neosho. We have a lot of great parents that are college, but the numbers aren't the same. And so those kids all have the same potential. They really do, but the cards are stacked a little bit differently. So we need to have different tools available to us in Neosho that maybe they don't need in Nixa. And they need different tools there that we might not need where we're at.
And that's what I love about the third-party accreditation model, because it actually mentors that school with those continuing school improvement plans, so to speak, that are tailored to your school. So they're able to come in and say, just like a private school, to come in and say, okay, here's where you've identified some deficiencies. So let us help you hit those benchmarks. Where it doesn't feel like you guys really have that support system currently with the department.
What would be awesome is, I think from our superintendent down, everybody wants what's the best for the kiddos.
Yeah.
But it feels like sometimes, especially when you're talking about a MAP score, that you're just waiting to be criticized. Mm-hmm. Really what that needs to look like is a support like you were talking about. And even if it's somebody else accrediting you, or even DESE or whoever it is, it should look like, what can we come help you with your specific needs?
Not punitive.
And,
yes.
Yeah. And if you are doing something egregiously wrong, then that makes sense. But just a supportive, helping, a positive environment.
There's a different attitude, though, that comes with that. And it's something that I've tried to teach my kids. It's like, okay, with tests or whatever, I was like, no, like, look at the test as a tool.
Yeah.
Not as punishment. And until we change the culture to where it's like there's the freedom and the flexibility to actually have an honest conversation about, okay, how can we do better?
Right.
where right now it's like nobody wants to talk about it because they're so scared of just keeping up with, you know, the demands of what that looks like in this facade.
And I'm going to tell a positive story about that, because culture is everything that we believe in. Or, you know, my wife and I talk about this all the time. We took over our junior high volleyball teams, and our big thing that we talked about with our AD at the junior high was we're going to change this culture. We refereed for years and years all over the state. My wife did state championship games for the volleyball even. But we did basketball and other sports as well, baseball. But there was a lot of times at school districts would walk in, you could see the kids were beat before they ever stepped on the floor because of their culture. And that was some of the culture. I can talk specifically about volleyball. They hadn't won a lot of games in a long time. And we talked a lot about that culture with our girls. And you know what? My girls came in there and won a whole bunch of games. Beat Joplin a couple of times in Carl Junction. And we had a great season because of the culture shift. And we keep expecting that to get better. The mindset needs to be better. Well, the same works for teachers. When the culture is, we're going to get judged on a test we took last year, we're not going to hear about the final and what that is until November.
When you don't even have those kids
anymore. Yeah, those kids and are we're gone. In a whole different new year, and oh, you're on probation because your special ed kids didn't do good enough, or whatever the case is. We can't fix that a year in retrospect. Mm-hmm. We need to have tools as we go. And that's what's great about iReady. Yep. And that's what's, you know, that we're employing at our district. And there's probably other programs out there that are great as well. But you need immediate feedback and immediate ways to get better.
Yeah.
Criticism for the kids rarely works anymore. It's not the 80s and 70s.
Well, criticism is not very motivating, right?
Right. No. But going, hey, this is what you did really well. And here, where do you think you need to do better on? Oh, it's this. So what can we do to do that?
How can we support you?
Let's fix it now. Mm-hmm. Not, oh, well, last year you really should have done better.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And that is the same for teachers as well.
Yes, as the iReady scores are fluid, they can see the results of what they are. Mm-hmm. So as educators, you can help them by identifying what those needs are by using iReady. I love iReady.
Yeah, and their lessons are on their path.
Yes.
What they need that certain time period. And the teachers can also go in there and find strategies to help those kids too.
But that's what needs to happen with behavior. Yeah. And we have 400 sixth graders in our building, and I have 115 of them in my classes, but I also have contact with a bunch of them. And if I have three of them that are really on this path that we're talking about, to spend as much time with them and doing what I need to do, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I have 113 other kiddos or 112 other kiddos to help them grow. And so I'm doing all I can with everybody I can. I'd love to spend all the time in the world with every single kiddo.
I think he's just volunteering to be the coordinator for a new program.
No, what I'm saying is that can't happen. And that's not what I want to do. I love working with the masses and with these kids and helping them all, because I see all that growth. And I'm here to tell you, nobody loves their students anymore in the whole world than I do mine. And in this room, I can say the same story. We love our kiddos. And a lot of the great educators you see across the state, they are absolutely emotional about their kiddos.
Right.
Because there are kids.
Fatigue is real. And part of that problem is the behavior.
Yeah.
I mean, money is money. I mean, I'd like to make $85,000 a year, but I would also like to be able to teach in my classroom and not have to worry about a kid punching me, or what's going to happen if I can't get that kid out of my room and those other 25 kids aren't going to learn. You know?
And what's even worse is you get punched one time or something happens. You know, you just deal with it. That's okay. But if you know it's going to happen again, everybody knows it's going to happen again, but we have nowhere or nothing to do to help with this kiddo.
Yeah.
You can talk till you're blue in the face. We can get a relationship. Mm-hmm. But when this kid doesn't have the skills, and it's not just one.
Yeah.
And it happens again and again. There needs to be, like we talked about, that alternative setting out separate from our building where K through 12, where they can go learn this, where they're still getting that tier one instruction. They're still getting taught math and ELA, but there's a lot of time dedicated to these other skills. Mm-hmm. That's just one idea. There might be a better idea out there, but to sit around and do nothing and wait for somebody else to come with it, it can't happen. Because we're the show me state, we can't wait on this one.
So I'm looking forward to having more conversations about this as we move forward. So as I was talking about in our office, met with the JOs, met with some of the family judges and things like that. And we're looking to meet with some of the superintendents and see what we can do collectively as a community. I I love the idea of community before country. Simply because the country's not going to save itself.
Nope.
It's going to be from a bottom up movement of us collaborating together as communities, and then that'll be a trickle up effect. It's not going to come from the top down.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Right.
We can't save the country.
So I have to tell my little story again. I know you've all heard it, but it reminds me of the dad who came home from work and was tired, and his son wanted to play catch, and dad was like, just didn't have it in him today. And he threw the kid a puzzle of the world. And he said, hey, just go put that puzzle of the world together. When you're done, we'll go play catch, knowing it would take a while. In just a matter of minutes, the kid came back and the puzzle was put together, the world. And the dad said, well, how in the heck did you put the world together so fast? And he said, well, it was pretty easy, dad. On the back of it was a picture of a house. And I put the home together and the world fell into place. Well, it'd be beautiful if all of our kiddos had homes that could be put together and we had that skill. But the next level is absolutely public schools.
Yeah, schools are their home.
You cannot deny that. In a lot of ways, we spend more time with them than their parents. And so we need to put this together.
Yeah.
And then the world will fall into place, because public school is, outside of your home is where you learn all of those skills, from social skills.
We call them neighborhood schools.
You bet.
There's an identity that comes with a public school. This is who we are. This is the identity. You get together. It's where all of us kind of have that touch point inside our community. So,
and I'm not criticizing, there's people that homeschool their kids, and the small percentage of them that actually do it. Some of them have great success. That's certainly not a criticism of them, but the vast majority of the kids need public school, and they do learn social skills and behavior away from their parents that become critical to being successful in this world. These kids need to learn grit, and they need to learn courage and all the things that come with those skills, and doing things even when they're hard or even if you don't want to.
Yeah, and being a teacher is more than just going in there, teaching your science lesson. It's so much more than that. Yeah. Whereas in college, that was my misconception.
I remember like a year ago or 2 years ago, we went and there was a judge from another state. And they'd went to lunch or dinner with us with another friend of ours. It was a mutual friend. And she was really pretty critical of public school. She's like, oh, if you look at it hourly, you make a lot of money. You get an hour break a day and you get this for. And I'm thinking, I can't remember the last time I had an entire, our lunch break is like 20 minutes. Well, it's really more like 18.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
10. Yeah.
And it's really ruled by, and I have never had a break.
You don't get a planned period.
A break?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, even if I have a planned period where I'm trying to plan, half the time it gets taken by a PLC meeting or some sort of training or some sort of this or IEP. There is no break.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, I'm going to tell you, I've laid bricks. I've fought crime. I've done it. It's the most exhausting job I've ever had, but it's also very rewarding.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
These kids, they look me in the eye every day, and some of them are just happy to see me because they know I'm going to tease them and we're going to have a great day and we're going to learn something cool or not cool, but they're going to learn something. And they love it. And some of them say I don't like school, but you know what? They do. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And public educated kids deserve that. They deserve just as good as private school kids or charter school kids.
But there's just hundreds and hundreds, thousands and thousands of great teachers out there. You're going to have some that aren't. That's just any profession. But the ones I work with are amazing, and they want to do everything they can, but they're one person, right? Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go ahead and wrap up, but I look forward to having more conversations about this. And now that I know how excited you are about reforming education, I'm going to tap into you.
Oh,
guys.
My numbers changed. So
all of a sudden, right? Yeah.
I'll let you know what it is. But no, I would love to help. And it's, but again, there's a whole, our MSTA group feels the same way. I mean, and there's some great leaders in there.
So let's get together and have this conversation.
Your advocacy for us too.
And that's going to be hard because getting subs is tough. And Then my kid's grown because I'm not there. But even if I'm not and they're doing it, we'll make time.
Well, let's look at, you know, what times would work best for you guys and continue these conversations. You know, we've got great relationships with the superintendents in the district as well. And like I said, the judges and everything else. So it sounds like we're building really good momentum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we'd love to have you partner with us to come alongside and help us be a part of the solution. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.